I don't. It's good. Sam,
good morning.
810. Okay. 810 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Candy is producing for the day, and man, it's so good to have you back, even if it's only for a couple of days. But yeah, Sam Abel is the city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze, and every little thing she does is magic. Sam, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, good morning. Boy, I tell you, listening to Sting first thing in the morning just put a huge smile on my face. That is fantastic.
That's the,
love
the,
that
the point Tuesday. Of the bumper music. Make you smile a little bit.
Yes.
So yesterday, you guys, you had your big budget workshop, so you've got some things we'll take away from that. But before that, you were on Channel 3 last night talking about the completion of phase one of the undergrounding of the utilities. Is that, am I in the right ball, rough space here?
That's right, Andrew. It's hurricane season, so very relevant subject. And, you know, this is one of those projects that it takes years of planning to even, you know, get started. And so, you know, we're just really excited that, you know, you're actually seeing those utility poles come down now. There was a delay for the last year, and the council have been kind of staying apprised. So progress has been slow going, but those poles are coming down right now. And so that project on the highway will be, you know, done by the end of the month, first week of August latest. So that's really exciting to finally see.
That's going to be a whole new visual appeal for Gulf Breeze, wherever the poles are. Because, I know I live in Escambia County, and they'll put up the new poles, you know, the ones that are made out of concrete or steel or whatever. And then they just leave the wood ones up, too. So like, oh, hey, we have twice as many now. That's fantastic. But no, it's a completely, if you ever go to a subdivision where there's poles and a subdivision where there's not, it's so different. Aside from the safety and the resiliency, just the aesthetic is completely different. So that's really good news. The budget you guys are working on, millage is being kept the same, but you're continuing some major projects. Is that right?
Wow. I tell you, this budget season has, you know, I have put budgets together during the global recession, you know, hurricanes and, you know, all the things, but this one has been just a seminal budget season. Between all the different, you know, discussions on a state level about what to do about property taxes, sales taxes, and just a host of preemption bills, in Santa Rosa County, there are also discussions that are impacting the county millage that you covered very well, Andrew. And so the discussion that the council needed to have is because...
And by the way, just for people who are new, we're talking about the MSTU and funding the sheriff.
That's right.
And because of that affects the city and the way your funding works, the way that's impacted. Go ahead. I just want to get people so that if they don't know the frame of reference, that's what you're talking about.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. So that MSTU means that Santa Rosa County is reducing its property taxes by a little over 2 mils. So why does that matter to the city? It matters because within a CRA special district, both the city and the county contribute property taxes or millage in order to address things that, you know, that that are to eliminate blight, such as, you know, policing and such. So it affects our law enforcement budget. So our council had to look at how to make up that shortfall and answer the question, were we going to increase our millage as a result? The argument, you know, for that would be that our residents wouldn't really feel a financial difference. It would just be the city increasing its millage in place of the county reducing its millage, because we aren't participating, obviously, in the county MSTU for the sheriff's department.
Got it.
Well, the mayor and council said, no, we're not going to increase our millage. In fact, you know, we would really like for our residents to experience the full savings, and instead we're going to, you know, roll up our sleeves, look at our budget, and make other adjustments in order to make up that shortfall. So that's what we discussed yesterday. We discussed how to make those adjustments, and mainly it was through removing the burden on the general fund for ways that it was contributing to our natural resources and stormwater utility. And so it's a phased approach, but looking at it, you know, the capital projects, they were able to do that without changing priorities for natural resources and stormwater. And so that was one change. And then also, you know, we just made some transfers from other funds and kind of realigned priorities. But what that means is that for a home in the city of Gulf Breeze with an average taxable value of $277,000, they'll experience a $530 savings in their taxes.
Holy
this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I was literally going to ask you to make sure I heard through the explanation that you're announcing a property tax reduction for residents in the city, and you just confirmed it, that that's a $2 million. Is that right? About a $2 million reduction, which is what the county reduced theirs to offset with the MSTU.
That's right.
Holy smokes.
2.07 mills. Now, the city is not reducing our millage, but what we're doing is we're ensuring that the reduction from the county will be realized by our residents.
Gotcha.
Because we're not raising ours to make up the shortfall that we will be experiencing.
Okay, so the county in its shuffle did residents of Gulf Breeze, because the city isn't raising to compensate, the county basically did you guys a $2 million favor. That's huge news. Okay. Hey, Sam, hang on for me for just a second. I need to get a quick traffic break in here, but we'll be right back. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right, looks like everything is running smoothly through Gulf Breeze, not showing any problems on 98. 437-1620. You can text if you see any slowdowns. I'm Candy with traffic on the fives.
Probably smooth because the polls came down, so that's good news. Okay.
Because everybody's listening to Sam.
Right, exactly.
And yes.
Okay, so again, not to make too big of a point of it, but this is a big deal. The county shifted its money to the MSTU for law enforcement.
Right.
It reduced its general millage by $2 million. You guys could have, because that's going to be a financial hit to the city also, you guys could have offset. You decided not to, and instead are simply allowing people to realize the $2 million reduction in their property taxes, which, again, on a home that's valued somewhere in the, like, $300,000 home, that's about a $600 savings, depending on homestead exemptions and all that kind of stuff. Do I have it right?
That's right. That's after homestead exemption. So that's the taxable value.
Oh, got it. Okay, perfect.
And so Milton will have to, you know, their council are going to be deliberating, you know, the same.
Yep.
And the same, you know, with the town of Jay. And so it has. It's definitely been, you know, a bit of a bob and weave year to get to the budget workshops. And so there was I can tell you, our department heads and our managers who were there, we were all kind of interested to see where the council would fall. But the important thing is that even with some uncertainty on the ballot as it relates to future exemptions, our council want to move forward with its resiliency initiatives, and our council want to make sure that our households likewise are best positioned for whatever future, you know, economic turbulence there might be. Mayor Schluter expressed that a lot, that we need to do whatever we can to try to protect our homeowners' pocketbook.
Wow.
So it was a good workshop yesterday.
Wow, from a citizen's point of view, pretty fantastic. There was something else on that I was going to ask you, and now I just completely, it went right out of my brain, so I apologize. I'll come back to it in a second.
I have made Andrew McKay speechless.
You made me lose my place. I don't remember what it was. Something related to the budget.
Did Candy hear that? I hope Candy heard that. That happened.
Oh, I did. I'm over here cheering.
All right, but a different subject. If it comes back to me, I'll remember to ask. But a different subject. I just wanted to follow up with you. We use Mariner's Landing. In fact, in the last couple of weeks with our boat, we've used both Shoreline Park, because we have a little inflatable with a trolling motor. We use Shoreline Park and paid your parking fees. And then we use Mariner's Landing and paid your parking fees. I will tell you, Mariner's Landing is fantastic. I love it. There were like 50 or 60 people when we were coming back around dusk. There were 50 or 60 people out just like enjoying it as an amenity. One note on the parking. The signs in both locations, the people who attach the signs to the poles seem to have put the bolt right through the QR code, which does make it so you can't just scan the QR code.
Thank you. Now you've made me speechless in return. So thank you for that. Okay. We will.
I know.
Well, you know, I'm going to pivot a little bit and say,
fair enough,
you could say that you supported our parking, but
I
prefer to say you supported our park ranger and dock masters, park ranger being EMT certified, who are there to keep our guests safe. So thank you for supporting the staffing of our waterfront parks, Andrew.
And I'll be
looking into the bolt through the QR code.
And I just have a note. I don't know that there's anything you can do about it, but again, just as a user, there are already an enormous number of snails that have gone up onto the, you know, the pavement of the boat dock kind of area. It may be something to pay attention to as a something that needs to be routinely cleaned, because obviously if they start to accumulate, it's bad for people and for the tires and all that kind of stuff. Just an observation, because we use it. But the amenity was fantastic. I mean, you know, it's wonderful to be able to use it finally.
Well, I'll share this with you. So we do pressure wash and maintain our boat ramps, and we keep documentation of that. Mm-hmm. The reason why that's so important, Andrew, is because when you're on the water, you know, individuals are known to imbibe. And just about every year we have a truck or a vehicle that will end up in the water. And so when that happens, that documentation is really, you know, important. And that's one of the reasons why the council 2 years ago switched from having, you know, just the boat ramp attendants to dock masters who are physically, you know, more engaged. But just so that you know, I appreciate the snails, because I'll be out there today to look for them.
Okay.
But
all
we
right.
do pressure wash and maintain, you know, those boat ramps. That's another reason why we have those, you know, that staffing there.
And this is where YSOM was above the waterline, but also down below the waterline, which is still a problem, obviously, for the car. And I remember my thing I was going to ask you. Santa Rosa County obviously is bemoaning the budgetary situation. We know that. Pensacola City, Amy Lavoy was basically giving them a woe and dire need kind of presentation the other day. It's not horrible, but it's not getting better. Gulf Breeze is now cutting, not taking advantage of the opportunity to raise taxes to offset. We talked about this. But how is just the outlook generally? Is it as kind of not great as everybody else is saying, or are you experiencing something different?
So what I did with the council is it's really important to remember where you came from. So I showed 5 years ago. So from 2014 to 2019, the city coming out of the recession, we had one enterprise that was in the black. Mm. The rest of our enterprises, which are our business-like utility funds, were all requiring some type of supplement. So in 2019, that mayor and council engaged a firm and looked at future five-year business plans and said, how can we make sure that each one of these utilities, you know, has full cost recovery and is self-sufficient, but also we're keeping those rates low. And that way it's reducing the burden on the general fund. They also looked at their other user taxes and fees, and they brought those up to still underneath the regional average, but they made sure that they had a diversified portfolio. So my message to the council yesterday is what a fateful decision that was in 2019, because look at what happened in 2020. So when the bridge is closed for 9 months and you can't rely on sales tax anymore, and when property taxes, you know, are made more vulnerable as they are right now, our council did take that action 5 years ago that right now results in we have a more diversified portfolio than cities across the state. Cities across the state rely on their property taxes by 70% of their budget. Ours is 20% of our budget. So all that to say, November is going to be very uncertain for any local government because property taxes may be going away. And that's just going to be, I mean, that really means that we have to completely reshuffle the deck. But for this year, you know, we did not want to take any aggressive action in just that first budget workshop because we wanted the council to have the opportunity to kind of, you know, talk out any adjustments that they wanted to make in the taxes. And what they said is, you know, this is going to be a wait and see year. And so primarily that's what they have decided to do. And I think the actions, you know, taken 5 years ago have positioned them well for that.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Well, Sam Abel, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for great news about the property tax issue and other stuff that we learned about. And again, you know, like, appreciate Mariners Landing and all the things the city's doing to make itself better because it's noticeable. Sam Abel is the city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. 8-